It is good to see everybody on this coolish winter day. I'm thankful that we are in a place where we are warm and toasty and comfortable, and most especially grateful that we can come together to worship God as His people. And those of you who are joining us online today, we thank you for joining us. I want to thank everybody. Last week we got some feedback on the app that we reintroduced to Northeast, and if you happen to have your app in your home and you're wanting to view what we're doing online, just go to the app and just go to live stream and hit that button and you're right there. Of course, if you're viewing this online right now, you may have already done that, or you may be watching on TV, so that was pretty much a superfluous statement that I just made and pretty useless. But we are grateful for what you are doing in cooperation, in conjunction with what the leadership here is doing, in making this place, making this church, the kind of church that God is calling us to be. And that includes communication, that includes staying up on things, and this is just one of those really good practical tools that will help us to do that as we go on our road trip. We've been talking about our road trip for a couple of weeks now, and we have been comparing the journey of life to taking that trip, maybe a vacation, going somewhere, some destination. And as you may remember, in our first lesson, I thought it was very, very important for us to first see the key importance of understanding where we're going ultimately. So we started, at the beginning, we started with the end. And we started with the ultimate end of that journey, which is not death. Death is a passageway. And we know ultimately we will stand before God, washed in the blood of Jesus, redeemed in Christ, or we choose to go our own way. And so we want to be people who seek that ultimate, final destination in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. And God has done everything to make that possible for us, short of violating our free will. And so we have a choice in the matter. So as we make our plans and have that road trip, ultimately we are hopeful and have the expectation to be a part of that new heaven and that new earth. What do we do in the meantime? How do we travel on that road? Last week I talked about the idea of making plans. It's important when we go on a trip that we have a car that's roadworthy. It's important that we have good directions. It's important that we have a good triptych and a travel plan as we make our plans. And I made the point last week, it's good to make plans. It is good to think ahead. It is good to think about the things that we know that are going to come, and sometimes be prepared for the things we don't know will happen to us along that journey. And that involves certainly, in a lot of ways, making a decision. But we come to a fork in the road. Think about that in terms of that travel coming to a fork in the road. So as we make plans, we're not exactly 100% sure how things are going to turn out. But along that way, we have a lot of choices. We have a lot of choices as we travel. When we come to an intersection, when we come to a crossroad, when we come to that fork in the road, what do we do? How do we make choices? Somebody said one time, when you come to a fork in the road, I think it was Yogi Berra who said this, when you come to a fork in the road, what did Yogi say to do? Take it. When you come to a fork in the road, yeah, take it. Well, take which one? Life is all about choices. You made a choice this morning to get up, get dressed, chose whatever you're going to wear, come here or not. Some of you are dealing with health issues. There's still some of the COVID going around. Some of our folks have missed being here at services because of COVID. What choice do you make? Because choices matter. What do we do when we come to a fork in the road? A couple of weeks ago, I shared with you a book called That's Good, That's Bad, a children's book. And there's another children's book that I'm familiar with. It's called What Should Danny Do? How many of you have seen this one? This is a little bit newer than the one I referred to last week, but this is a book about choices. And in this book, a boy named Danny is going through life, going to school, doing things, and he has choices. And the neat thing about this book is that as you read it, and you read it with your children, there's a place in the book where they get to choose what they do. And then you turn to one of the two options in what they do. You turn forward to that page, and then you read some more, you see what happens, and then they make another choice. What choice will they make? And so this book is helpful in reminding our children, and of course we need to be reminded as well, that life is all about choices, and that choices matter. And sometimes those choices are very small things, little things. It probably does not matter what you chose to wear this morning, unless maybe you're cold and you didn't put enough on. But there are some choices that really matter. Some of you are facing some big things right now. I mean, really big choices in life. You've come to a fork in the road, and you're having to decide with that diagnosis of cancer, what are your treatment options going to be? Or maybe you're in a relationship right now and you're struggling with that and you're wondering, well, do I remain in this relationship or do I need to move on? There are lots of big things we have to think about, and some of those are very serious, and sometimes we just don't like it because, as I mentioned last week, a lot of times we don't like change. Most of us are creatures of habit. So when you're traveling on the road, do you like to travel in a way where you're stopping and going, making all kinds of turns, making decisions all the time? Or do you like getting on the interstate between here and Columbus and just putting that car on cruise and just taking that straight, easy trip from Cincinnati to Columbus, flat road? It's pretty straight all the way, and I know what some of you are thinking. I've taken that route before. And quite frankly, I think it's pretty boring, all right? But sometimes boring is good. We like boring. We get in a place in our lives where it's like everything right now is just so good. I like it. I love it. Do you ever have this feeling like maybe you're in a situation with your family or friends or you're all together for the holidays and you think, man, I just want to freeze this moment in time. I don't want things to change. Because with change and choices, sometimes there's a lot of uncertainty that we don't like. But think about it this way. A lot of times the things we don't like or we don't like changes, we end up in the future maybe liking those changes. How many of you this morning in your home have an HVAC unit that provided plenty of heat for you this morning at home? Raise your hand. That's pretty much everybody. I know there was a time when people said, look, we're not supposed to have these things in the house. This pot-bellied stove with a fireplace in the middle, that's just fine for me. But a lot of times when we resist certain things, in the end, we appreciate them and they're useful. And that's a lot of what this is talking about. And so if the future involves a fork in the road and the future involves choices, I know that if I'm walking on the right road and I'm walking with God and He is leading me, I can embrace the future and whatever the change is because I know He is with me. Also, I've mentioned, and I want to emphasize this point again, we want to seek the road less traveled. Remember the passage from Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There is a poem by Robert Frost, and it's actually the title of this, The Road Less Traveled, is a book written by M. Scott Peck, and he talks about some of the difficult choices in life and admitting that life is difficult. But the poem by Robert Frost, how many are familiar with this poem, The Road Not Taken? How many of you read this or learned this in your class? Some of you may have memorized it. I didn't memorize this in school. But he says this, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and I looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. So he has a choice. There are two roads, and which one do I choose? And The poem goes on to describe what he chooses. And then he closes by saying this: two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And so it should for us as well. The best road is not always the easiest road. The best path, the best choice at this fork in the road is not always the path of least resistance or the easiest thing. Sometimes it's the difficult thing. It's the hard thing. But sometimes those hard things and those hard choices, sometimes that will have a cost with them, in the long run are by far the best thing for us. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself, you need to pick up your cross, and follow me. And so that's not always and will never be an easy road. That's not the easy path. Sometimes that path to follow Jesus is the toughest path to take. But it's the right one to take when we're talking about moving forward in the road of life. Now, Solomon made a choice from our reading this morning. And Solomon's choice was this: young, inexperienced, inheriting the rule over a kingdom that his father David had reigned over, had risen to prominence, powerful in the world of that day, and now here he is in this position. And God says to him, ask me what you want, and I'm going to give it to you. And as Solomon thought about that choice and that fork in the road, Solomon said, this is what I need. I need wisdom. I need discernment. I need to be able to assess situations so that when I make those decisions or when I come to that fork in the road, I make the right choice. And God gave him that gift, didn't he? The story right after that with the women with a baby who died, and a woman takes another woman's baby and says it's hers, and they go before Solomon and he makes that decision about that child. That was the exercise of wisdom. What is, listen, wisdom is not the same as knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom are not the same. Now, we need knowledge and we need truth to apply that truth in our lives as we make choices, as we come to forks in the road. But knowledge is not the same as wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is asking the question, what does this reality, what does this truth, what does this fact, what does it mean in my life, in the life of others, and what am I going to do about it? So Solomon had an opportunity right after God gave him this gift. He could have asked for any number of other things. God said, I'm going to give you those things anyway, but because you asked this, I'm going to bless you. But he had wisdom to make a choice in that difficult situation. And the fact is, we need wisdom too. You need wisdom. If I was going to just say maybe what the most important factor in making that choice at that fork in the road where you have a choice, it's this, it's wisdom. And some things are neutral. They're not necessarily right or wrong. Some of those choices are decisions about career and about other things that don't necessarily have anything to do with a right choice and a wrong choice. But I want to be able to choose and I want to be discerning. And listen to this. James says, he promises us, God says to us, if you lack wisdom, you should ask from God, who gives it generously and without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you ask God from a sincere heart, trusting him to give you discernment, to give you wisdom about this choice or that choice, that he's going to guide you in the way? Yes or no? Amen? Can I get an amen? Do we believe that? Now, God can do that in all kinds of ways. First of all, I need to know what his will is. I talked the first week about we need good directions. And so we go to the Word of God. We go to his truth. But sometimes it's a struggle to apply those things in given situations. Sometimes it's a clear situation of right and wrong, but sometimes it may be a choice of good or better or best. Maybe there's a good choice, but maybe there's a better choice for me, my family, my life, or others. And so this discernment that is given to us by God, we pray about it, we believe His Holy Spirit is working in our lives. He blesses us with people who surround us, who can give us wisdom and advice. We all need that. That's what we need to have wisdom. But ultimately, it comes from God. And sometimes it's very clear, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not a matter of right or wrong, but sometimes it is. And in light of that, we need to remember that choices have consequences. Choices have consequences, sometimes good and bad, sometimes not. And so this is where wisdom moves into action. Wisdom is able to assess a situation and evaluate it in light of what is real, what is true, what is right. And the next step is the will to do what wisdom calls us to do. Are you getting my point? You can be wise and discerning. You can assess a situation right. You can see all the factors, and yet that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to choose the right way. That's where the challenge comes That was too quick. Let me go back. All right. That's my bad. I'm sorry. So now, if any of your minds were wandering at that point, we got you back now. Choices have consequences, good or bad. If we take the wrong road, there are going to be consequences. We looked at a film clip from the movie Vacation last week. We're going to look at another one, and we're going to look at the result. It's less than a minute long, of what happens if you take the wrong road. Okay, now let's do it. Let's make sure it's
done. Hear us?
You're lost. Ma, I saw some detour signs.
I didn't see any.
I saw them when you and Mom were trying to fold the map.
Audrey, when they close the road, they put up big signs like this one.
Okay, let's stop right there. I'm not going to tell you what happened to Aunt Edna later on in the movie. It's pretty sad. They did have a funeral for in the movie. So they took a wrong road. All right, thought he was on the right road. He was confident about it. But obviously, what happens when you take the wrong road? Here's the irony of the situation with Solomon. Solomon had all this wisdom. He asked for it. God gave it to him. You know, he had everything he needed in his life for his own personal life and to make decisions relating to the lives of others. But if you know the story of Solomon, his life, he took a lot of wrong turns. And he knew better. Just because you know the right way or you know the right thing to do doesn't necessarily always mean that you're going to make the choice to do what you need to do, because sometimes there is a lure, an attraction with the wrong road. If you're coming to that place and there's a right and a wrong choice, sometimes you're going to be tempted because there's a certain amount of pleasure or a certain amount of attractiveness in that wrong road, but ultimately it's going to lead to ruin. Remember what God said to Cain when God had rejected his sacrifice? Because it was not offered in faith, his heart was not right with God. I don't believe it was because it was fruits and vegetables and grain, because he was a farmer. And so it had more to do with his attitude than what he offered. And God accepts his sacrifice, but not his brother's. His brother offered his sacrifice in faith. And so he's mad. He's angry. God said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what's right, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." And so there's this seething anger and resentment in the life of Cain. And God is gracious enough to warn him. to warn him, to say, listen, Cain. You're at a place right now, you're at a fork in the road, and you're going to have to make a choice. And one choice is going to lead you down a road that's going to lead to destruction and murder and more chaos in your life and in your family. The other choice would be better, but we know what choice he made. And so a lot of times, there is something attractive about that choice, about that wrong road. Let's admit it. That's how temptation works a lot of times. It wouldn't be temptation if there was no attraction to it. And so maybe you're in a situation at work or with somebody else, and there's this temptation maybe to flirt with somebody when maybe you should just be saying, look, I'm not even going to go down that road because I know where this could lead. A lot of times people don't see the ultimate end of where they are in terms of making all these choices. I mean, how many people who go deep into addiction, you know, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, whatever it might be, and they come to a point where they're just totally at rock bottom. And maybe you're talking to them and you say, man, how did you get in this position? How did you get here, man? I mean, how many people are going to say, well, you know what? I made a decision about 10 years ago. I made a decision 10 years ago. I'm going to become an addict, and I'm going to lose everything I have. Made that choice a long time. People don't do that. A lot of times they don't think about it. They don't think about the right and the wrong and the consequences. And certainly in making those choices in the work of temptation, the devil does not come up to us and say, you know, give up on Jesus and follow me to hell. I mean, is that the approach that Satan uses to pull us away or to take the wrong path? No. No, he doesn't do that. It's often more subtle as we make those choices. And so the question comes up as we talk about this whole issue of making choices, coming to a fork in the road. Is it time for you to make a change? Is it time for you to change your direction? And it could be about a host of a number of things. Is God tugging at your heart? Is he putting you in circumstances? Are you hearing things that are sounding off alarms in your head? I've got to change. I've got to take a different road, a different direction. I think about in the Bible, an example of this is when the Apostle Paul was talking to a governor named Felix. And when he was talking to him, he had been arrested. Paul was an apostle. And we read a lot about him in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, he's been arrested. He's been being taken to Rome, ultimately. And he's going different places along the way under guard. And he's in Caesarea. And he is standing before the governor of Caesarea, Felix. And there's a passage, I'm just going to read it for you. As he's talking to this governor, he's in a position where he is talking to him about the things, listen, that really matter. Maybe he hadn't thought about some of these things before. And it says, as Paul discoursed on righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. He was afraid. Influential, powerful governor. Paul is speaking to him. He's talking about righteousness. He's talking about self-control. And if you know anything about Felix and what is said about him, he didn't always practice self-control. And he talked to him about the judgment to come. And it says, Felix was afraid and said, listen to this, that's enough for now. You may leave. And when I find it convenient, I will send for you. When I find it convenient. When I find it convenient. I'll do it later. time's not right. I don't want to think about it now. And there are, you know, if you're at a place in your life where you feel like things are critical now, and I've got to make a decision. And sometimes you may hesitate to make the decision or do the thing you need to do because you feel like, well, what's the point anyway? You've maybe failed time and time and time again, and you've come to the end of the road, and you think, what's the point? You think, things aren't going to change. Things aren't going to be different. Or maybe you're somebody who's filled with regret. You think about the past, you think about the past mistakes, and you're just so upset and discouraged about what you've done and the consequences of your actions in the past. You may be in a place where it just really doesn't matter, but it does matter. And even when you come to the end of the road, it's not the end of the road. Believe that things can be different. Believe in Jesus that things can be better. But they're not going to be different, and they're not going to be better unless you're willing to look honestly where you are in your life, in your relationships, and say, I am making this choice. And even though I may have regrets about the past, I believe things can be different in the future. I believe I can make a change. Sometimes it may have something to do, like I said, sometimes it's just changing jobs and it matters, but sometimes even those things are crucial and we don't even realize it relating to our spiritual walk. Now here's the flip side. Here's the positive side on this angle, and that is this. You can be in a place where you are on the right road, the right course, at the right time. And so as we've talked about Solomon being at a fork in the road, and as we talk about Felix at being at a fork in the road and making a decision, there is someone else who made a choice at a fork in the road, was in the right place at the right time, and did the right thing. Some of you are familiar with the story of Esther. I'm not going to go into all the details of that story, but during the time when Persia ruled, Xerxes was the ruler of Persia. His wife Vashti was kind of insolent and didn't do what he wanted her to do. And back in that day, buddy, if you were the king and the queen or anybody didn't do what you wanted them to do, you got in trouble. So she was deposed and a search was made for a new queen. Long story short, Esther, Jewish, although her cousin Mordecai, who looked after her, her parents were dead, she was an orphan, advised her as these women were taken against their will, I am sure, back in this day, to be paraded before the king to decide which one would be the new queen. Esther ends up being the queen. And so she is the queen, but as the queen, even the queen cannot approach the king. Nobody, we're told in the passage there in chapter 4, nobody can approach the king without being summoned. And if you approach the king without being summoned, the king has the right, and it is the law, he can just put you to death. Now, how do you like that for accessibility? All right? But anyway, Mordecai uncovers a plot that Haman is going to annihilate the Jews in the kingdom, and Esther does not realize it. He gets the word to her that you need to do something about this. You need to approach the king. That's when we hear about the law about I could die if I go. And this is what Mordecai says to her. He challenges her. And he says to her through a messenger, if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. Now, this is what I want you to really hone in on this fork in the road and making a decision that's not only going to make a difference in your life, but maybe in the life of somebody else. maybe God is calling you and is going to use you at this fork in the road for such a time as this. Is this your time? In terms of what you can do in the lives of others, as Nick mentioned with the Lord's Supper this morning, it's not just about remembering what Jesus has done for us, and that is so important. It's asking ourselves the question, what does this mean to me at this point in time in my life and as I relate to others? Who knows that God may be calling you to such a time as this? What is it? I don't know. You know, you have a unique position right where you are. You are unique. There's nobody like you. Nobody who has some talents and gifts that you have to offer in certain situations that maybe nobody else can do anything about it. But you can, and God's placing you in a position right now at this road to do something. Not just related to yourself, but related to others as well. So, quickly, let me make a couple of points before we close. Number one, whatever choice you make, if you're making that choice based on the right things in the right way, God has your back. And what I mean by that is, it doesn't mean that everything good is going to happen to you. In fact, Romans 8:28 says, we know God works all things for the good to those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. But that doesn't mean that God's pulling all these little strings and preventing us from having bad things happen to us. It's not that way. And as we've been talking about this road trip and making good choices and having consequences, listen, sometimes in life we are traveling down the road, we are in an intersection, it's a green light, and sometimes somebody will still sideswipe us. We can't control what others do. And I know we talk about being safe, this whole issue of risk and reward. It makes sense. We make choices all the time based on risk and reward, and sometimes we want to be so safe we're not willing to move. I mean, as I look out of the interstate right now through these windows, the speed limit right out there is 65 miles an hour, 70 in some other places. Some places out west, they don't even have, the speed signs. But I can tell you this right now, if we made a law that everybody had to drive 45 miles an hour on the interstate, let me ask you this, would there be fewer accidents and more lives saved? Yes or no? Absolutely. If everybody did it and it was enforced. But, we have to gauge, the risk and reward. There's a reward that comes with going a little faster, getting goods to where they need to go. And so, our society makes a decision on what the speed limit ought to be. Our life is full of choices like that. And even when we're doing all the things right and being safe, still sometimes things happen, but God has your back. And He's going to work everything to your ultimate good and those around you who are called according to the purpose of Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? That one is so important as we go through life. I don't want you to think for a minute that taking the right fork in the road is always going to mean that things are going to go smoothly. Sometimes they don't, but God is preparing us. And here's another thing. Little things matter and they add up. Little things matter. Somebody once said, don't sweat the small stuff, but sometimes the small stuff is big stuff. And we don't think about it. So when we're talking about this fork in the road and making decisions, please don't make the mistake of saying this only applies to big things, big decisions, big issues in my life. Because sometimes that little choice at a little place in an insignificant way can set in motion things that are better, way better down the line, but we don't see it at the time. Don't despise little things, little choices, because they matter and they add up. All those forks in the road, they matter. And now this question, are you ready to take a leap? Are you ready to take a risk, a leap of faith? And by the way, I'm sorry about mixing up my metaphors here. We've been talking about cars and traveling, and the better picture here would be somebody like leaping off the edge of a cliff. Okay, that goes better with this. But it fits with what we're talking about. Are you ready to take that jump? Are you ready to take that step that you've been hesitating on, that you know you need to do. I want to share with you, as we talk about this road trip and making choices, encourage you to apply these things to your life. And if you're viewing online and you're wondering what way to go, what direction, if you want some help and encouragement from us, we will be happy in any way to help you on your journey, and we want you to get in touch with us. I want to close by mentioning this. We have a lady here today, Donna Brown. Some of you have met her, and she has had some difficult roads in her life, and she's in a position right now where she is at a fork in the road of her life, and she has made the decision that this day she is ready to commit to Jesus and be baptized into him. And I praise God for that. She's making that choice. In a lot of ways, she doesn't know the future. We don't know the future. The future's in his hands. But I want that future with Jesus. That's the future I need. And that's the future she is choosing. So I'm going to step down. We're going to sing a couple of songs. And then Donna's going to be baptized into Jesus. All right? Amen? All right. Let's go.